Why am I not seeing anything? There's no photo image of me, but maybe I'll just carry on, assuming that you can see me. Okay. So talking about the Ukrainian conflict. So the Ukraine is actually, as it's just called off its counteroffensive, it was grinding to a halt over last month, and it's just too cold to make significant headway. They gained only about 16 kilometers. They needed to gain 160 kilometers to achieve their objective of reaching the Sea of Azov and thus breaking the land corridor between Russia and Crimea. So it was a failure. There's no way to put a gloss on that. And all right, they inflicted some significant losses on Russia, but still. So Russia's been heavily attacking around Avdiivka for about 6 weeks, failed to take the city. Ukraine was having some difficulty holding it, but they've inflicted such heavy casualties, they'll almost certainly hold it to the end of this year. Is it worth holding into next year? But, you know, Russia's attacks are slacking off a little bit. Ukraine crossed the river Dnieper about 6 weeks ago as well, near Kherson. They've only penetrated about 2 kilometers east of the river, had difficulty getting further because they had to resupply their bridgehead across the river. So Russia seems to have successfully contained the Ukrainians there. And this attack was supposed to take the pressure off Ukraine elsewhere, and it's had rather little success on that. And obviously the last month there have been salvos of Russian drones and missiles against Ukrainian cities, particularly Kyiv, but they are infrequent, far less frequent than they used to be the same time last year. So Russia's strategy appears to be this, to husband their missiles and drones and then use a big lot, lots of them in one go. And that is more than the Ukrainian air defense can cope with sometimes. I mean, Ukraine, obviously, it saves its patriots to shoot down major missiles. If it's just quite a small one going to hit an apartment block, they just got to let it hit because the number of air defense missiles the Ukrainians got is finite. So these attacks are not inflicting significant damage. The Ukrainians suggest they're shooting down about 95% of these drones and missiles, probably a small exaggeration. But it's true that it's more than a nuisance, but it's not a serious threat to them. But Ukrainian attacks against Russian soil have almost ground to a halt because Ukraine just does not have the soldiers and the munitions to spare for that. And it was really only a pinprick against Russia. There were some sabotage operations, derailing trains and so on. Probably the major headache for Ukraine is they don't have enough shells, and they again have to use them very sparingly indeed. Only use them when absolutely unavoidable or they're certain they're going to hit the target, because the Western allies were supposed to furnish 1 million shells this year and they've only given about 500,000. And there's no indication that's going to improve. If anything, it's going to get even worse. So Ukraine urgently needs that $50 billion US dollars in the aid package, which is still held up in the United States Congress. Well, even worse, in the Senate. Even if passed by the Senate, it's got to get through the House of Representatives. Admittedly, as that's Democrat controlled, it's got a good chance of getting through the House of Representatives. But I think Ukraine is going to receive some aid, particularly military aid, next year, but it's going to be rather less than $50 billion because President Biden is going to have to make a compromise to the Republicans in order to get this through. More money for Israel, more money for border security, less money for Ukraine, therefore. So some Ukrainians are being very public in lambasting President Zelensky, as of course is their constitutional right. Ukraine is a free country. Even in wartime, there's no censorship. So the mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, is perhaps the most outspoken in his denunciations of Volodymyr Zelensky. And mustn't forget that as mayor of Kyiv, the capital, Klitschko is a major figure in his own right. And there's a serious chance that he will seek the presidency next year, and he's got a realistic chance of even winning it. At the moment, if you look at the polls, it seems as though Zelensky will be re-elected, though not comfortably. Anything can happen at backgammon. Remember, he came from nowhere with his Servant of the People party, but here we are 5 months out from the election. But the election due in May 2024 has been postponed sine die. That's because elections can't be held as martial laws in place. The Verkhovna Rada, in the Ukrainian parliament, has to vote to extend martial law every few months. So Zelensky said the election simply cannot be staged because of the war. 5 Ukrainian regions are completely or else partially illegally occupied by Russia. But, you know, that's been the case since 2014. And the areas under Russian control are simply just not allowed to vote. So the European Union is eager that this election should go ahead on schedule because they want to underscore that is the quintessential difference between Ukraine and Russia, that Ukraine abides by democratic norms. But, you know, people in the United Kingdom mustn't make this point too hard because, of course, I know the UK is not in the EU. Look at the Second World War, where the UK didn't have an election for 10 years of that election, delayed it by a further 5 years from what it should have been. But anyway, because Western countries say this is a war is about democracy, and that's less convincing if this election is postponed. Trouble is, it can't be postponed forever, and this war is likely to be going on into 2025, maybe even longer. Anyway, so Zelensky's stance is still that the Russians must withdraw completely and unconditionally from the whole of Ukraine, including the Crimean Peninsula. Only then shall he parley with the Kremlin. So studies of wars over the past 3 decades or so have concluded that if a war doesn't end within its first 12 months, then it's probably going to last over a decade. And here we are almost at 2 years. And so it might even last 10 years, probably at a lower tempo than we're at now. And it was just a few days ago that the United States published an estimate of Russian casualties, concluding as about 315,000 casualties. Now, usually you think about a quarter of those are killed, the remainder are wounded. It might be slightly higher killed in Russia because their field hospitals are so poor. On the case of Wagner conscripts, they just didn't even bother to try and treat them. And there are only about 2,000 Russian prisoners of war in Ukraine. There were more, but some were released in exchanges. So Ukraine refuses to give a return of its casualties, but the expert consensus is their casualties are roughly 50,000 dead and about 150,000 wounded. There are approximately 400,000, so approximately 4,000 Ukrainian prisoners of war held by Russia. Some, a lot of them taken the very first few days. This idea there could be mass desertions from the Russian military, we're still not seeing it. Obviously, there's a trickle of desertions, but the trickle could eventually turn into a flood. So in November this year, a list was published using open source media of over 24,500 Ukrainian soldiers who've been confirmed killed in the conflict. And Ukraine claims over 11,000 of its civilians have been killed in almost all cases by Russia or its satellites, the so-called Luhansk People's Republic, Donetsk People's Republic, you know, Redut, Wagner, whoever. So anyway, so Ukraine claims to have 800,000 troops in the field. But there's some skepticism about that. You might have them on the books. So Zelensky said today that they're going to have to draft some refugees. So many of these, some of them left as underage boys last year. They've since subsequently turned 18. They're going to have to come back and serve. What are the refuse? Are police forces in Western European countries going to have to arrest them to force them to serve? Anyway, so thousands of Ukrainian men left, crossed the border illegally, or in cases, some cases gave a bribe to be granted bogus medical exemptions and so on. And there's some very affluent Ukrainian men in Western Europe, and they are not doing their bit. So it's blatant to see that Putin cannot suppress a growing sense of optimism, because if things continue the way they are now, Russia is going to win. This is because it's going to be an attritional war. The Ukrainians will run out of munitions. Their stocks are dwindling. Their morale might drop. So Ukraine, without more Western funding, is going to find it a real headache to pay salaries and to keep roads, railways, bridges, everything, the electric grid functioning. And the Ukrainians are always finding these listening devices that have bugged government offices, army bases and stuff like that. So corruption is almost endemic in Ukraine, and it might become increasingly simple for the Russians to bribe people, to give them intelligence or even to turn their coats. So that's why it's very important, if you want Ukraine to win, to make sure the Ukrainians have adequate money. And of course, yes, some of it is filched, and Russian propaganda would have you believe that defalcation is more common than it really is. Anyway, so there is a significant chance that Russia will achieve a decisive breakthrough next year. I don't want that to happen, but I'm facing the facts. So Ukraine doesn't seem to be busily building up its defenses, its anti-tank ditches, or whatever you need to do, its minefields, because Russia might attack first. Who's going to attack first in the spring of 2024, of course, is anybody's guess. And we can't say where that attack will come. But at the moment, Ukraine just doesn't have the munitions, because you want to put down a huge bombardment before you do that, soften up the enemy, you know, blow up their minefields or anything. So obviously war weariness is setting in both countries. But remember, Russia's got a serious numerical advantage of 3.5 to 1. And obviously Russia's got much more money. So they've really increased their war production. They increased their military budget, I think it was 65%. So teenagers are sometimes working in factories part-time, and they can do this in lieu of education. It counts as an apprenticeship. So Russia has managed to convince, or in some case coerce, these Gastarbeiterinnen from the other former Soviet countries like Kyrgyzstan or Turkmenistan to enlist in the Russian army, holding out the prospect of citizenship or whatever if they do so. Despite that being illegal in those countries, and some of these poor chaps, they go home, they're jailed for having joined the Russian army when they had no real choice. So the war is not as unpopular in Russia as you might think, because, of course, it's obviously not all Russians are getting killed, and particularly not ethnic Russians. There's obviously the indigenous minorities who tend to get killed. So there is some disquiet in Russia amongst wives and mothers of soldiers. Some guys who were drafted in September 2022, meant to be for a year, well over a year later, they still haven't been demobilized or even given any leave. But Russia is successfully containing this. But I'm sorry to say that the prospect for next year are bleak for the Ukrainians. When the war began, it was bleak, but they surprised everybody. They, you know, exceeded everybody's expectations. They could do so again, but, you know, I wouldn't bet on it. And there's nothing indicative of the West ramping up support, which is why I'm sorry to say that I'm actually quite pessimistic for Ukraine next year. Might not be defeated, but he's probably going to lose a bit more ground. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Please donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com, and subscribe on Patreon for access to thousands more videos and articles behind the paywall. Goodbye.